Welcome to the ZBA meeting, Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. The time is 6:30 PM.
Which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Today's Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. It is the monthly meeting of the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment. I'll do the roll call. Ron?
Here.
Bill Keena's excused. Boyd is excused. Judith, I'm here. Gail Pellegrino?
Here.
Tony Steinmetz?
Here.
Okay, so we have a four-member board tonight instead of five. Gail is sitting in for Bill, so let the record show that. I'd like to, before we start, I'd just like to explain to those of you who are here the process of the Zoning Board of Adjustment. We do two things. We have hearings and meetings. Before, when we call the case, it is a hearing. Everyone is allowed to speak. The process is the board, the applicant presents their case. The board will question the applicant. Then we'll take questions from the audience. And when the people here are finished, we'll also take questions if there's anybody on Zoom that wishes to have a question. When we're all done with everything, we will close the hearing and we will open our meeting. And at that time, the board will make a decision about the case that we just heard. All cases are appealable. Whether you get a positive or a negative response to your case, all cases are appealable. So if you would just know that whatever your and it can be appealable by someone who was in favor or someone who was opposed. So just know that if you get a positive response tonight, that there it doesn't often happen, it seldom happens, but your case can be appealed, the decision of the board can be appealed. I think we'll hear the first case. So Megan, if you would read the case, please, for us.
Case number 25-009. Applicant/owner, Andrew Bodie, 196 Brown Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, 196 Brown Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 413, lot 122. Intent, seeking a variance to waive terms as stated in Article 2, Section 2.02, to resume a non-conforming use that was discontinued over 1 year ago.
Okay, so Mr. Bodie, are you here this evening? You're certainly welcome to pull up a chair and sit at the board if you'd like, or you can present your case in there, whichever's more comfortable for you.
Sure.
But you're welcome to come up here and speak to the board, whichever.
Sure. Stay here, all right? my property, 196 Brown Road, I've had the property for 2 years. The previous owner ran his business out of there for 36 years. And I wasn't, when I bought the property, I thought that I would be able to use the property in the same way. And I'm currently listing the property for sale now. And I had a potential buyer that was interested in the property. And they wanted to use the garage space that was used by the business previous to me. And so we went to the town to make sure that that was possible, they showed that that non-conforming use had
lapsed.
It had lapsed, yes. And I wasn't aware that I had had to appeal that within that first year,
Well, what you would have to have done, sir, is to have used that use. If the use ceases and it is not used for more than a year, then the right to use that non-conforming use is no longer possible. I don't know if anybody read the ordinance, but what it says is any legal non-conforming use or structure, oh, I'm sorry, that is discontinued or abandoned for a period of 1 year or more cannot be resumed, but can be replaced with a conforming use. So, because no one has used that for more than a year, as you said, the previous owner had that business for a number of years, and when the zoning changes, the law of the zoning allows for anything that's happening at that particular time to continue. We're not going to say, oh, well, now we changed the zoning, you have to move this out of here. You were there before, so you're allowed to continue. But once that use ceases, then if it's not used within a year, and any legal nonconforming use cannot be changed to another nonconforming use. The only use that can be used is what he previously was doing.
Understood. Is there, should I have been notified of that, or is that just something that I have to figure out?
I don't know of any time that we've ever notified of anyone. I mean, it's the zoning ordinance is, not that anybody reads it, but it is available online. And I don't think that, perhaps you didn't realize that if you didn't use it, it would lapse.
Yeah, no,
and I think the purpose of that is to keep the conformity in the zoning, that you have areas where we have residential areas, and what the people have said, we want to say, okay, this is where we want to live, this is where we want our businesses, this is where we want our industry, and we don't want to mix them together, except in certain areas where we have mixed use, where you can have residential and commercial together. But if in a residential area, you want to keep it residential. And so that use that was there before was allowed to continue because it was there before the zoning has changed, and you can't make ex post facto laws. So it was there, it's allowed to continue. But once it ceases, then that right to have that use no longer exists because now it's a residential area. But there are things that are allowed. There are uses that would be allowed in that. Like contractors, small contractors, like a landscaper or a carpenter or something could use, is allowed to have a space in a residential area. It just can't be a commercial. It couldn't be a commercial business.
Okay. Yeah.
So my name is Lee Drapo, and I represent his property for the sale. So I'm aware of how many people who come through the property who are interested in sort of the multifaceted. So like if you're familiar with the property, it's a very large home, a beautiful barn. It has amazing curb appeal. This particular 2,000 square foot building is well off to the side of the property, has its own septic system, has its own driveway, and is somewhat private with the trees. So it's really, you know, the Saunders did a wonderful job of sort of blending it in with the sort of residential community. And like you said, he enjoyed using it as his business for 36 years. There's still a picture of that building on his website today with all of his commercial vehicles. I think he indicated to Andrew that he never had to get permission to run a business out of there. So I just want to clarify what you just said. The question that we called, and Megan was very helpful when we had our potential buyer, because the potential buyer was looking to just rent it out to a particular contractor, plumbing and heating guy. That's all he wanted to do, and we were told that we couldn't rent it out. So to clarify what you just said, are you saying that a homeowner can run a home business from that establishment versus a homeowner who then purchases a property and then wants to rent that structure to a business, a landscaper, a contractor? Because I'm not really sure what the difference is.
The thing is, you can only have one non-related employee. If you're thinking that you're going to rent. Hard to explain it. If you think that if you're intending to rent that building, that's a commercial, that you're doing a commercial use, and that's not allowed in the residential area. And I know that it was done at a previous time, but he lived there and he ran his business there. You're talking about having someone purchase the home, and then they're going to rent out this property, and that's not allowed because it's a residential area. And I think Megan explained that to you when you were here.
Yes, and so I think and Megan also explained that we could come seek just a variance for that. So I guess what I'm looking for is clarification if a homeowner purchased the home and wants to run their business out of that 2,000 square foot structure, as long as they have only less than no one person related to them, that's permissible. Is that correct?
Depends what the business is.
What kind of businesses would would qualify?
Is that something she can bring up with Megan and not take the time here? Because that's really...
I know. It's the thing is, the irrespective of all of that, right now what we're dealing with is the fact that this is a non-conforming use that was discontinued for more than a year. So irrespective of what... If somebody wants to come in, you can come in and talk to the building inspector. They can talk to and see whatever. But right now, all we have to deal with, the thing what Gail is saying, is that you're asking for a variance. There are 5 criteria that you have to meet for a variance.
Yep.
So you need to explain to us like how you meet each of those 5 criteria for the variance and why we should grant you the variance to allow you to use that building commercially in a residential area.
Okay.
And I think that part of the thing with the commercial thing is the increase in trucks and cars, people coming either if you're selling or something out of there. So you're increasing the traffic in the area. So there's a lot of things. But right now, our issue is, do you get to use this building commercially after more than a year of it not being used commercially? And that's the issue that we have to deal with tonight. Then all that other stuff.
It seems to me it's a bit different between a commercial business and a homeowner that has a truck and works out of his garage. The extent of this, for one thing, and I'm sure that this business existed before we had zoning.
Well, 36 years, you're talking... back in the 90s, like late 80s, early 90s, and I know we had zoning because Ingrid and I rewrote the zoning in the 80s, so.
Okay.
Zoning started in 58, didn't it, here?
Sorry, somewhere around that, but I know that we rewrote the zoning ordinance in the, Ingrid and I were a committee of 2 to redo the zoning ordinance, and when it was redone sometime in the 80s.
Okay.
So.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
So on Mr. Bodie's tax card, the land use is classified as COM/IND. I'm assuming that means commercial/industrial. Can somebody clarify, weren't able to get clarification on why it is that it's taxed that way, but yet not able to be used that way?
That's a good question.
I don't know. The thing is, I'm sure that this is a situation where it was, except up to 2 years ago, it was not listed. It was listed as a commercial property. Once Mr. Bodie bought the property, he no longer used it commercially because the tax cards weren't updated. Doesn't take away the fact that it hasn't been used commercially for 2 years. So it doesn't, if there's a problem with the tax cards, then I'm sure Mr. Bodie can come in and speak with the assessors and talk to them about asking for a rebate or having to change his designation on his card of whatever the property is. But the issue is that the use has ceased. And that's the issue that we're dealing with tonight, is that the use has ceased. And so there are 5 criteria that we have to go through to determine whether or not we can grant a variance.
Yeah, I have the 5 criteria, and I've written
sure.
down something.
Sure. And did you explain, like, you've gone through each of the 5 criteria and tell us why you think that it meets each one of the criteria?
I've tried to, but, it's sometimes challenging to figure out what it is that you're asking for. Like, the spirit of the ordinance is observed is a difficult question to answer, but I try to articulate where Mr. Bodhi sort of is coming from in terms of this variance. Like, I can tell you, as the one who's trying to market and sell the property, it's extremely challenging for people to take a look at this 6.64-acre land with these outbuildings that are very far from each other and they have their own septic system, their own driveway, and then try to explain to them how it is that the town won't let them operate a business from it when a business operated for 36 years, of which is still very much on his website. So people are, the value for them is not there, right? Why would they buy such a property? It would almost have to stumble upon somebody who not only has horses but is a car enthusiast. I'm looking for a really narrow market of individuals who are then looking for this home. By no fault of his, you know, the property value is diminished because the use has changed, and that's what I'm trying to lobby on his behalf. So I'm happy to give this to you in writing. I don't need to read it out for you.
Well, no, there are five criteria that the first one, actually the first and the second are fairly similar. The first one is that let me get over here. The first one is that that it's not contrary to the public interest and that the spirit of the ordinance is observed. So if you want to address those two issues, that it's not contrary to the public interest, and basically the way it's determined is that it will not be contrary to the public interest if only owing to special conditions, a literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance will result in unnecessary hardship. So the spirit of the ordinance shall be observed. But it must show that there will be no harm to the public interest if it was granted. It says, and it also says, the power to zone is delegated to municipal employees, in municipalities by the state. In general, the provisions must promote the health, safety, or general welfare of the community. They do this by lessening congestion in the streets, securing safety from fires, panic, and other dangers, and providing for adequate heat and light. But it says, when the ordinance contains a restriction against a particular use of the land, the Board of Adjustment would violate the spirit and intent of the ordinance by allowing that use. And this is, I'm reading, this is the State Handbook for Zoning Boards of Adjustment, which is, it helps us to understand what each of these things. So if you have to meet these five criteria, that the variance isn't contrary to the public interest, that the spirit of the ordinance is observed, that substantial justice is done, that the values of surrounding properties are not diminished, and literal enforcement of the ordinance will result in unnecessary hardship. And if the people of the town of Candia have set up the rules on which they want to use their land, and they've said, we want these zones to be residential. This man had a commercial use for whatever, however it got there, he had the commercial use. But once he stopped using that commercial use, after a year, the right to use that use is gone. And so if it says here that, in the guide to us is that, when the ordinance contains restrictions on a particular use of the land, and the Board of Adjustment would violate the spirit and intent of the ordinance by allowing that use, and it prohibits commercial uses in the residential area. So the third one is substantial justice must be done. Any loss to the individual that is not outweighed by a gain to the general public is an injustice. The Board of Adjustment cannot alleviate an injustice by granting an illegal variance. And the values of surrounding properties are not diminished. The ZBA does not have to accept the conclusions of experts on the value of property or any other points, since one of the functions of the board is to decide how much weight or credibility to give testimony of witnesses and expert witnesses. And then little enforcement of the provisions would result in unnecessary hardship. The ordinance imposes some hardship on all people when shared by all, No, but when they are shared by all, there's no grounds for a variance that exists. Is there some kind of characteristic that that makes this property different from any other property that's zoned around you? So those are the criteria that you have to meet in order for us to grant a variance, and you have to meet all five of the criteria in order to grant a variance. So if you want to continue with your five going through the five things that you have, you started with that the business was there for over 36 years.
So the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. I mean, if you want me to read this, I can, or if I
should. Sure, go ahead.
In writing.
No,
current owners purchased the property in November 2023 from the previous owner, G.K. Saunders, who constructed a separate building in 1987. Mr. Saunders has been in business since 1982. For 36 years, Mr. Saunders owned and operated from 196 Brown Road, Cambia, with a successful kitchen equipment service business with 7 vehicles, according to his website. His current website still shows pictures of that business as it operated on that subject property. Substantial justice is done. In November 2023, Andrew and Grace Bodie purchased the Brown Road property with the understanding that they would be able to enjoy and use the property in the exact same capacity as which Mr. Saunders enjoyed during their 41-year ownership of that entire property. They had no knowledge at the time that they purchased the property that they had this one-year lapse. They barely got in, got settled, painted, made some improvements to the home. They had no knowledge that it had a time clock that was clicking, that they would have to resume the use of that business in some way, or a business in some way, in order for that to not lapse. So just by not having any knowledge, they just assumed that when they purchased the property, the way that it was being used at the time when they purchased it, they would be able to assume that use. Values of the surrounding properties are not diminished. The freestanding building, 1,920 square feet, which is on its own septic, has its own driveway, separate from, has its own building, all building generator, includes an office space, as well as ample warehouse garage space and a single toilet. Ample parking space for any potential customers, no infringement on the area residential homes, privately set back from the primary home. So aesthetically, completely in keeping with the character of 196 Brown Road and all of Brown Road, quite frankly. Potential buyer of the property this summer inquired about the ability to rent the property, which prompted our call and our discussion with Megan of how we could use the property and the classification indicated on his tax bill as supporting evidence as commercial slash industrial. He was informed in August of the current status and subsequently lost that potential buyer. Literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. Allowing the former owner to enjoy and use the property as he had, but not allowing the current owner to enjoy the property in the same capacity, limits the potential buyer pool for this property. The property consists of 6.64 acres of land with a main dwelling, a livestock barn, and a workshop. The lack of flexibility in the use of this property forces the current owners to a much smaller pool of potential buyers who plan to use the workshop as a hobbyist only. It's causing harm to the saleable nature of this property. And I have a couple, happy to have this copy go with you guys because I have a couple.
Anybody have any?
I appreciate that.
Anybody have any questions?
I think the tax bill should be addressed here because it's misleading. It's misleading. It said on there that it's this special kind of property, and it's
well when
it's,
he when
and
he
now
bought
it's
the
not.
when he bought the property, it was allowed to be used commercially, and he did not use this. He's owned that property for 2 years, did not use it.
So when he bought the property, it was zoned commercial.
It's not zoned commercial. It's a pre-existing non-conforming use. And that use, if you have a non-conforming use and it lapses and you don't use it for a year,
yeah,
then the right to have that non-conforming use disappears. And so it goes back to just residential. This is a residential area. And if you're talking about a commercial, think about the 7 trucks that were in there, people coming and going. And if you're talking about the neighborhood. This is a Brown Road. It's a residential neighborhood. There are houses all over. So now you have seven trucks. So you're seven employees at least that are, and I would assume deliveries and other stuff. So you're increasing the traffic in the neighborhood, in a residential neighborhood. I think I'm not sure how the tax maps work, and I'm not sure that they even knew that they don't know that this use discontinued, that it was discontinued. And
they meaning the town of Candia?
The assessors.
Yeah, the assessors, unless you say something about it, the assessors don't know that the use is...
And whose responsibility is it? The owner's responsibility to say something?
I would assume it was the owner's responsibility.
I no longer use it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. if you're not using it for something.
I did speak to the tax assessor a couple months ago, and I ultimately came out with no conclusion on why it...
Why it was still listed as that?
Yeah.
And it's still listed as that as of today. So I checked it again today. And under land use, it is COM/IND, which one can only assume is commercial/industrial.
Well, I that still doesn't change the fact that the use was stopped 2 years ago. And that's the issue. It, irrespective of what the tax card says, the use stopped. I don't know if anybody has any questions, Ron?
Well, one of my concerns is if we were to grant a variance here, there's no indication what the person that buys this property wants to put in for a business. It almost seems like it's the cart before the horse. I understand it makes it easier for you to sell the property, but from the town's standpoint, I'd like to see you as an owner come to us and say, hey, I want to put a carpentry shop in this building, and can I get a variance? I'd be a lot more comfortable with that scenario.
I think that's very valid because, I mean, we've had things come up to the board that because of either the size or what they're trying to do, deny it, or we've accepted it. Oh. And just to say, you know, carte blanche that we're going to grant it.
Is there a list of businesses and sizes or somewhat guidelines that you could get comfortable with so that we can increase the market pool for his property? Because right now, unless there's a hobbyist who has horses, we're in a very limited buyer pool because of this change.
But that's not our job. Unfortunately,
that's not something that we do.
Let me ask another question. How many square feet was this building? I'm familiar with the building, but how many?
2,000.
Conceivably, with the changes in estate zoning laws, you could change that over to an apartment with some, I mean, that's more square feet than you can... Would an apartment?
An ADU.
What allow
buildings where they put in ADUs and only use the allotable space?
Right. I mean, you could. You got an overhead door. You could make a garage as part of that and take space away from. So, it's conceivable that the building can be used for something else, especially where it has its own septic system. Is there a separate well, or is it tied into the well from the house?
Tied into the house.
Yeah.
And it's only a holding tank.
Right.
It's only one toilet and a
right.
So it's operated as a business for 36 years. I don't know how conceivable it is to turn it into an ADU with slab foundation. Yeah, so limited on plumbing and stuff like that. So, but I hear what you're saying in terms of flexibility, but I don't know how feasible that is. It's really constructed for a business.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there, Article 5 in our ordinance, in the 503, it'll list accessory uses for residentially zoned property. There's a lot of them. There's nothing in the deed that addresses this. Not that it make any difference, but...
No, not in, I mean, not in any of the research that I did, in the need that anything came up. Does it, does your decision have any weight by if whether or not any of the butters had any feedback to share? And I don't know whether or not we received any feedback from any of the butters.
Well, we certainly will welcome any feedback from the abutters, but we basically have to go by the law and by if you meet the five variance criteria.
Right, because this is we're seeking a variance from the from the zoning, right?
Yes, because the zoning clearly states that any non-conforming use that ceases to exist for more than a year, it disappears. It cannot be used again. And so that is the case, and that's you're asking us for just to grant a variance for that to allow a commercial use, basically, a commercial use, and this was a large commercial use in a residential area, which is against the zoning, so that Mr. Bodie can make some more money or market his property better.
So that we don't diminish the value of his property, because right now it's diminished because the fire pool is so small. Because you can't do anything with this building unless you're just somebody who collects cars.
So, I think beyond our capacity here tonight. So, is there anybody here in the audience that wants to speak about this?
I'm an abutter to the property. I knew the Saunders very well, and so I've been... they're 22 years. Matt Woodrow, 201 Brown Road. I think, you know, to Ron's point, when we moved there, young family, they're, you know, grown up now in college, one's in high school. It's a quiet residential area, so I'm directly across the street from the shop that the Saunders had. They didn't have seven trucks. I mean, at the most, since we lived there was two trucks that were operating in and out. They were business hours. There were a lot of UPS and FedEx trucks. They had delivery for parts and things come in and out. But there wasn't, I guess my concern would be if somebody moved in there and there's constant machinery, like if they're actually operating and doing construction and stuff out of that property, there's neighbors all around. I mean, you'd hear that throughout the day. And certainly... I think, you know, his business was more of a storage-based business, so it didn't really, you know, interrupt the flow of the residential. We knew it was there, we knew it was a business, but, you know, it kind of blended in, right? Yeah. I would be concerned, I think, you know, to Ron's point, I would want to know, what is this business going to be doing? You know, how much more traffic is that going to introduce? Is it trucks in and out all day? Because it did get heavy at times, right, with traffic in and out of there. When they had deliveries, bigger trucks at times. I think even sometimes, you know, they got questioned for the size of the trucks coming in and out on that road, especially in the spring. I think there's a weight limit capacity on Brown Road going back. So, you know, that would be my concern. I certainly understand, though, you know, the concern of the property and, you know, being able to list it, it's at that higher dollar value. But I would just, you know, I'd be concerned, right, just because it is a very quiet residential area, what is the business going to be? Because I do think it would have impact depending on that. Certainly not opposed to it, like, you know, the Saunders ran their business. It was that type of more storage-based, and they were using it like that. You know, I could certainly see that. That would be my only thing. Just I probably want to know more about it and what it's going to be used for.
Anybody else have any questions or comments?
Do we
have anybody on Zoom?
Someone.
There's no one on Zoom?
One person. But
oh, okay.
They're not raising their
hand. Is there anyone on Zoom that wants to have any comments or questions? Anybody from the board have any other questions?
What type of business would go in there?
Equipment service. So
pardon me?
He was a kitchen equipment service. So for area restaurants, he'd go around and fix their equipment. So he had a few employees, and they, you know, they leave their home base in the morning in their van, and they go off to repair the kitchen equipment at restaurants and schools, and he's pretty well known in the business.
Yeah. And how many vehicles?
Well, on his website, there's a picture of six vans in front of the shop, but you know, he may have wound down by the time that you moved in. He's older, and he.
No, I mean the one that the potential buyer. What type of business is that?
At the time, the potential buyer that we lost was heating and plumbing.
Say again, please.
Heating and plumbing.
Oh, okay. Okay, was it a one truck operation or 15?
I don't.
That's history, right?
It is history.
Okay.
Which is why we started that variance process when we lost him in August.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Anything else you want to. Do you have any questions?
You know, unfortunately, when you buy a piece of property, you really should clearly understand the potential zoning issues if you intended to do something else with it. I have a little bit of a problem there that it really was incumbent on you to have checked and be aware that this one-year limit existed and whatever. I mean, that's not the end of the world, but it's certainly not the town's fault that this was allowed to lapse. It's really nobody's fault. You didn't know, but the information was out there and available.
The other thing, too, Ron, is that the purpose of the ordinance is to, we've set up rules that this is how we want to live.
Right.
And if you were there and you're doing something previously, that you have the right to do that. But once that ceases and he left the area, closed his business, left the area, Mr. Bodie moved in, and that use wasn't used for a year, then it goes back to a residential area. And because that's what the people have asked for. The people have said we want to segregate our things, and his business stayed there as long as he was there. But I don't know if we have any more questions or if you want to any.
No, I guess not. I just.
Do you have any questions, Gail? Do you have any questions?
So, are you listing the property at a different price based on having this? So the.
We'll have to reduce our price in order to get it sold. If he can't market it to somebody who can then viably purchase the property with the use that was enjoyed for four decades, we will have to reduce the price because, again, our pool is very small at this point.
So are you advertising it as a commercial property?
No, it's advertised as residential because once we spoke with Megan, we knew we were simply dotting our I's and crossing our T's when the potential buyer asked all the right questions. We had been operating based on the tax card, industrial/commercial. So when somebody would ask, as a homeowner, may I be able to run a business out of here? I would assume so. Mr. Saunders ran his business out of here for 36 years. I would assume so. Tax card reports it as commercial/industrial. We wanted to be really formal about checking all the boxes before our potential buyer got any closer, made a call to Megan, and Megan explained to us that had lapsed after a year. So it was a surprise to him. So, but no, we're not marketing the property in any way that it can be used that way. It's simply by potential buyers' questions that this arose.
Question, how big is the barn? It has horse stalls in it, right?
How big is the barn? 20?
Well, how many stalls?
Yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, there's 4 stalls.
3, 4, okay. Because they were raising dogs, too, and I assume they were using some of that space for the dogs.
The barn or the workshop?
The barn.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they had kennels in the house, too.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
So, conceivably, the workshop area could be turned into, again, stalls. And
oh, no, it's separate.
I know it's separate, but that doesn't mean it couldn't be.
No, like there's a whole barn.
Right, I understand that.
And then a whole garage.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the property.
Okay, gotcha.
But you're talking about the garage, is that?
He's talking about the garage, but I'm saying that, you know, when you say that there are no other uses, it could be 6 horse stalls. along with what's there with 6 acres. I mean, it's conceivable you could do that, or yeah, and now that becomes an agricultural use and a whole different ball game with fewer hoops to pass through and whatever.
I don't think anyone's trying to change the culture of the property.
No, I know. I understand what you're trying to do, but I'm trying to say, are there other options with what you have without, you know?
Yeah, understood.
Okay, so is there, if we don't have any other comments, we'll close the public hearing and we can go through the variance, the 5 variance criteria?
I guess, yeah.
Do you have any questions, Tony? Any more questions, Gail?
No.
Nope. Okay, then I will, anybody else have anything, comments you want to say? Matt? No. Nope. All right, we'll close the public hearing and open the meeting. The 5 criteria... the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. Okay.
I think without knowing what the business is that's going in there, we can't really comment on this. I mean, if it's a carte blanche, and we don't know what business it is, I mean, that could definitely impact public interest, in my opinion.
Well, they can only, the thing is that use can only be, for the same use. So if that was, if they were granted a variance, it would only be for the, the same use.
What's the same use?
Right.
Well, that's,
you're not
yeah.
going to find another kitchen
that's
repair
true.
Place. They're just... There aren't any of them out there. There's 2 or 3 that I can think of, and that's it.
Okay.
You know, if you're talking about a similar business, that's one thing, but the real limitation is the fact that you can only have one employee.
That's true. And it has to be... The other thing it says that it has to be him. If it's a home business, it has to be, it can't be used. This
right.
is, they're talking about renting this out to someone who is
yeah,
not,
I would
who
be
not,
dead set against that.
Who is not a member of the household. And if it was a home business, if you were trying to get under a home business, it doesn't fit under a home occupation. It's not a home office. I mean, when we talk about the businesses that are allowed, they talk about plumbers or carpenters, and you have one employee. You can only have one other employee besides yourself. So you're talking about these are the home occupations, but these are allowed anyway. But it has to be a homeowner. But this is something where he's talking about. He isn't going to run this business. The homeowner ran that business, the previous business. He's not running that business. He's going to rent out that building to someone. Whoever this new owner is will rent the building out to someone.
Well, we don't even know.
Well, we don't know.
And you don't know what.
But that's conceivable.
That's
yeah.
the problem. That's the
yeah. So there's you don't know what's going to happen, and it's not allowed.
I mean, it'd be different if the current owner was asking for this variance for himself.
Yeah,
it'd be totally different.
It would, and because he could come in and say, "This is what I want it
right.
for," not knowing that.
Would this alter the essential character of the area? Matt testified to the traffic that they would have with this other business, so you don't know if you're going to have.
You don't know what the business is.
Yeah, so you don't know what you're going to have, and that could definitely impact.
Right.
You know, I lived in a residential area, 2-acre house lots, and had Susie Electric next door to us. You never would know to drive up the road that they, in fact, were running a business there. He had 4 or 5 trucks, but the guys all took the trucks home, and then there was never, other than Paul's truck, any truck in the yard. The thing that was a big, they re, that really wasn't a big deal. First thing in the morning, everybody met there. It was noisy, everybody's talking, having coffee, and I can understand, not a big deal, it was never an issue. The bigger issue was all the electrical supply companies that were dropping stuff off there and the trucks that were coming and going for that. I think we have to know what the business is before we can grant a variance. That's my opinion.
Well, that's assuming we can grant a variance. The thing is, the second part says that if, it, you know, when you look at the variance criteria, it says that when the ordinance contains a restriction against a particular use of the land, commercial use in a residential area, the Board of Adjustment would violate the spirit and intent of the ordinance by allowing that use. So they want to market it as a commercial use.
Yeah, and I just don't see that.
Okay, so the first thing is the
variance. Could a variance be awarded with conditions such as condition that whatever goes in there, if anything, it'll meet all the requirements of the Candia ordinance?
Well, then you don't have to say anything because they won't need a variance if they meet all the conditions of the ordinance. They don't need a variance. You know, you said if they can do what they want, they can, if someone buys that and they run a small business, mm-hmm. there are home businesses and things that are allowed in the ordinance. They can look in the ordinance, see what's allowed. If they do that, they can come in and they have to talk to the building inspector and they can use that building for that. But to use it as a commercial business changes the whole neighborhood.
I understand. Believe me, when you
think about the not only the employees but the deliveries to the business, it's a carpenter works someplace else generally unless he's got a shop and he's making some particular thing in the shop or something. But then he's not if there's more than one employee, he's not a home business anymore. So I think we have to look at what we have here, though, Tony.
This expired. There's really no reason to apply for a variance for this because it would.
Well, they
were trying to make it so it's more marketable.
If the tax card didn't say what it says, they would have probably not even applied for a variance. It's just a residential property.
But the point is, irrespective of whether or not if the tax people didn't go out there and look and see that he was, basically you're saying, they didn't go out and see that he wasn't using the building. It was their job to go out and check to make sure he wasn't using the building. He was using the building and he wasn't, so, we got to take that off. It's also the homeowner's responsibility to look at their taxes and say...
The homeowner at the time should have notified the town of Candia that building was not being used anymore. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
If they're being taxed on commercial...
But that didn't happen, and time went by,
and now we got this situation. Once you get past that one-year mark,
yeah.
then that the right to use that building for commercial no longer exists. And so,
and the owner knew that.
And you know,
well, he claims he didn't know that he did. He wasn't aware of that. But irrespective of that, that's the law.
This comes down to difference between commercial and a home business. And I'm not sure how you define those two, but there's a big difference between a home business and a commercial business with multiple employees.
I'm aware.
Yeah. So.
All right. So we need to vote on that the variance is not contrary to the public interest.
I think it is.
Okay. So Ron, you say yes. Gail?
That it's contrary?
That it is contrary to the public interest. Tony?
At this point.
Yeah.
And I say yes. Okay. The second, the variance criteria is that the spirit of the ordinance is observed. So the spirit of the ordinance, and again, the power to zone is delegated to the municipalities. In general, the provisions must promote the health, safety, and general welfare for the community. They do this by lessening congestion in the streets, securing safety from fires, panic, and other dangers, and providing for adequate light and air. And basically it says, however, when the ordinance contains a restriction against a particular use of the land, the Board of Adjustment would violate the spirit of the ordinance and intent of the ordinance by allowing that use. If the ordinance prohibits industrial and commercial uses in a residential neighborhood, granting permission for such services would be doubtfully legal. A board cannot change the ordinance. So that's the way the handbook describes that. So is the spirit of the ordinance observed?
I don't think so. I believe that unfortunately the previous owner far expanded on the real intent of the ordinance to begin with. And he was a nice guy, and it was the neighborhood never cared. But you know, unfortunately, it's
Gail,
really far and above. I mean, he had three or four people working for him at least.
Gail, any comments or?
I'm just struggling that we're trying to pass something that we don't know the specifics of.
Yeah.
This variance is passed. So until we have something concrete and solid to discuss, I'm not sure why we're voting on questionable conditions.
There's not a problem with passing this if, in fact, the new owner comes in and says,
right.
You know, I want to
I mean, I think you could market the, I think you could market the property saying, as Tony mentioned, these are the types of businesses that are allowed. Yes, you would, you know, some of them may need a variance, but at this point in time, I don't think we can...
Well,
I don't feel comfortable in granting a variance for something of the unknown.
The other issue is if what Judy said, that the variance that exists or existed only existed for that same type of business. So, I mean, we just know that...
Because you cannot change a use, a pre-existing non-conforming use.
Right, okay, so... So basically, we're really back to square one with a property owner coming in and saying, I want a variance for this piece of property for my whatever business, and we approve it or disapprove it. You know, that's really where we're at, is square one. What's done is done.
Well, the issue is that it's very clear. A non-conforming use that is discontinued or abandoned for a period of 1 year or more cannot be resumed.
Right.
So even if someone else comes in, how do you get over that? How do you get over the fact that it says that this commercial use in the residential area...
They'd have to go for a different variance. They would have to go request a new variance for whatever the business is that they're requesting.
Right.
We're not reinstating this non-conforming use.
No, but what I think what you're saying is that it is giving them hope that they could get a use that someone could come in and say, I want to run a commercial thing out of there.
Tony mentioned.
Yeah, but it says specifically that it can be replaced by a conforming use.
Right.
So any of those uses that are allowed here. They could easily use that building for, but to come back and say to us, we want to run another commercial use there, how can we allow a commercial use in a residential area in a 2,000 square foot building, where one of the neighbors did mention one of the things we talk about, lessening congestion in the streets, and you're talking about trucks coming and going, and if you they have vehicles, the vehicles coming and going, and that's all of that changes the character of the neighborhood.
Right, but that would be when they that individual comes before us. For this, I don't think valid.
But I think giving them hope that someone else can come in here and ask for a commercial use.
I don't think we're saying that.
No, because I'm not sure that the board could grant. This use has disappeared. This is no
right.
longer can be considered
it's
a commercial site. The use after 2 years, after 1 year, the use has disappeared.
Right.
So
it makes no difference what business was in there before. We're going to start at square one and approve or disapprove any potential business that might come along.
But that gives them hope that the board can approve a commercial business use for that building. And I don't...
We're not stating that.
I mean, they can. There are other uses that are allowed in the ordinance that they can come in and use that building for.
Right, and they can market their property that way. That's not our decision to make. We're not real estate agents.
But I think
sellers.
You know, to say that someone comes in and they want a commercial use in there, and they can come before the board, and this board would consider giving them a commercial use. I guess anybody can apply for a variance. But how we can give a commercial use in a residential area.
This variance we're talking about, so we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. So this variance.
Okay, the spirit of the ordinance is observed. It says some of the comments I have is the previous owner far expanded upon the use. It alters the essential character of the neighborhood. We wouldn't know what it would be used for if we granted the variance. Okay, are we ready to vote?
Just one other question. Would
Matt, I can't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, sorry.
Yep, no problem.
Ron? That is the spirit of the ordinance is observed. The previous owner expanded.
It is not.
Okay. Tony?
I guess not.
No.
Okay, and I say no. Substantial justice is done. Okay. Substantial justice is loss to the individual that is not outweighed by a gain by the general public is an injustice. A board of adjustment cannot alleviate an injustice by granting an illegal variance. So is justice done by granting them this variance? The ordinance says you can't have commercial in a residential area.
It's already,
and the thing
it's,
is,
it's expired. So
and it's expired.
Yeah.
So it's expired.
Yeah.
So.
No.
So is justice done by not granting them the variance? We cannot alleviate an injustice by granting an illegal variance. I don't see how you can grant a variance. Because. It's clearly been over a year that the use has not been used. The current owner doesn't want to use it. He just wants to be able to market it. So any questions? I mean, to me, you've got the commercial use in a residential area increases traffic, the deliveries. You've got clients, you've got employees, and that changes the character of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any questions about it?
I guess the bottom line here is that things expire. So what can you do? I mean, it's sort of if it was still active, then you could hash this around some more, like this. 2.02 here. Is that what you're reading there, Judith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I'm reading for is from the variance criteria here.
Oh.
That substantial justice is the loss to an individual is outweighed by the gain to the public. So they lose the use of their property, but the public gains, what does the public gain? The public gains...
They haven't been using the property as such.
Well, that's true.
So but, there's no loss other than when they have additional people they can sell to. So I'm not even quite sure why we're entertaining this.
Since it's expired, it's...
Okay. Any other things? I mean, I'm thinking that just the use was, you have all the commercial that's coming in, all the trucks and the increase in traffic.
And not knowing what the business would be. Not knowing how many employees, not knowing the nature of the business.
Or if there would even be a business.
Right.
That's true. All right.
Substantial justice is done.
Yeah.
To the homeowner or to the town?
What it says is a loss to the individual that is not outweighed by a gain to the general public is an injustice. So does the general public gain by not having a commercial use there?
Yes, it does.
But there's no variance in place right now.
Pardon me?
There's no variance in place right now.
No.
So there's no justice or injustice being had or made as a result of this.
Okay, so is so is justice done? Any loss to the individual which is not outweighed by a gain to the general public is an injustice. So does the public gain by not allowing a commercial use there?
No, the only one that would gain is the seller who may have potentially more clients to sell to. It's
so the public gains nothing.
The public gains nothing.
Okay. So substantial justice is done.
And
Ron?
So is that a no?
Yes means that is a no. Well, yes, correct. Yes is a no. Yes,
okay.
Yes is a no for them.
Okay. So no.
So you're saying that it's an injustice to them. By saying no, you say it's an injustice to them.
Yes.
I'm not even sure why we're going through the five.
We have to because they asked for a variance.
Okay.
So we have to go through the five criteria.
Okay.
Can board members abstain from voting?
No.
No?
No, you cannot.
There's only four of us.
Okay, Ron? So a yes vote means that it is an injustice to them and a no vote when...
No.
A board cannot alleviate an injustice. So is there a substantial justice? Justice is done. That means that the loss of the individual is not outweighed by a gain to the public. Is the loss to the individual outweighed by the gain to the public? Yes or no?
No.
No.
I say yes. No. Tony?
No.
Okay. The value of the surrounding properties are not diminished.
I don't see how the value of a property would be diminished. I mean, it's the property is the property. They're going to have to have, they'd have to have comps based on that property compared
to...
I'm just stating one thing. The actual value of the property wouldn't be diminished or the other surrounding properties.
The traffic
and all of that, yes, would diminish things.
Yes, it would.
But the actual value would not.
The values of surrounding properties are not diminished, is the question.
They are diminished.
They are.
So the answer is... it's, if your question is they, the values are not diminished, so you say yes, you're saying they are not diminished. If you say no, you're saying they are diminished.
They are diminished. Okay. Or they would be diminished based on the type of business that we don't know is going in there.
Okay, so Ron?
No.
Tony?
No.
Gail?
No.
And I'm a no. And the last one is little enforcement of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. So basically, the ordinance imposes a hardship on everyone. And when a hardship is shared by everyone, there's no grounds for a variance. So everyone around them has the same restriction about having commercial in a residential area. So is there something that diminishes this property from any other, distinguishes this property from any other property? Is there something unusual about this property that makes it different?
Well, it certainly appears to be a commercial property.
Well, the fact it was used as such,
that it
but
was.
No, the whole property is a residential with that.
I realize
with
that.
The barn. So, it says by its basic purpose, the ordinance imposes some hardship on all property by setting lot size, dimensions, and allowable uses. The restrictions on one parcel are balanced by similar restrictions on other parcels in the same zone. So when the hardship so imposed is shared equally by all property owners, there's no grounds for a variance. So unnecessary hardship means owing to some special conditions of the property that distinguish it from other properties. Is there anything that's different about this property that makes it different than Mr. Woodrow's
property?
Except
for the fact that it's got a commercial building site.
Well, it has a building that was used as commercial.
Well, okay.
Yeah, but it could easily be used as a barn or storage or whatever.
Right,
as you said,
you could
put stalls in it and use it for horses or you know, if somebody wanted to raise animals or whatever. So, anybody have any comments about that? Little enforcement it would result in hardship. I mean, it's residential. Every other structure around there is residential.
I think it's unfortunate it lapsed for the owner, but I don't think there's any unnecessary hardship. It still can be sold as residential.
Okay, any other, Tony, do you have any questions or anything?
No, I'm set.
Okay. Do you want to take a vote?
Mine's no.
Gail's no. Tony?
No.
Ron?
No.
And I'm no. Okay, so the variance is denied. I think it takes a couple of days for us to process the paperwork, but they'll mail you the decision of the board. If you want to appeal, you have 30 days to appeal. Megan has the reasons. You can appeal to the board, or you can appeal to Superior Court. And that's it.
Are we allowed to ask questions? I'm not sure.
I'm sorry?
Are we allowed to ask questions or no?
It doesn't matter. Questions about the appeal?
No, not about the appeal.
No, we're done.
Okay.
Sorry.
I just wanted to clarification for things that you had commented on. I was just looking for clarification.
Okay.
Is that something that I can write to you?
No, sorry. Okay, our next case is, Megan, would you read our next case, Kevin Duran?
Case number 25-010. Applicant Kenneth Duran, 11 Winter Street, number 2, Peterborough, New Hampshire, 03458. Owner, Nathan Duran, 444 Brown Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, 444 Brown Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 414, Lot 26. Intent, seeking a special exception as provided in Article 15, Section 15.04E, to permit the construction of a second accessory dwelling unit. The existing ADU is attached to the primary dwelling. This second ADU will be detached.
Okay. Mr. Duran?
Yes.
Okay. You're you're welcome to pull your chairs up if you want to come to the table and show us your plans.
Yeah,
sure. Are you shell shocked?
We are.
Do you have a copy of the plot plan? We have some we can provide you with.
I think we do.
Yeah, back.
We have in our folders here. I know that I've looked at the plans.
Yeah, curious. We have several.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's what I got.
So you can actually read it.
Okay.
So this is the proposed in red.
Okay.
Where we would have the structure.
Okay.
And we are keeping within all the guidelines in the ordinance.
Okay.
We're less than 100 feet away from the existing. The building will be less than 850 square feet.
Okay.
And we have plenty of setbacks all around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So see, we're down here.
Yeah.
And it's 11 acres. And
we also surveyed the wetland locations.
Yeah, we had a soil scientist come in and demarcate all the wetlands.
Okay.
And so this is what we would like to do.
All right. This is a new septic system, or this is what you have now.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, basically we had already had this plot plan previously, so I more or less used this drawing just to sort of illustrate, and then all of these are actually scalable as well.
Okay.
So while this was a soil plan for the existing septic system, doesn't really have anything to do with that. More or less a way to show the property and the new location of the proposed
plan. Okay. And the thing is, now do you have the approval for a new septic or a in case the septic fails, or is...
It would be a new septic system.
Okay, so you're putting in a new septic system
yes,
for that?
Correct. It will have its own septic system, but we thought we would get approval before we went and spent money on a septic design.
Correct.
Okay, because the part of the... I think part of the thing is we have to have a septic, either a... you don't have to put in a new system, but we have to have the plans. We're supposed to have the plans for the septic system.
Just to apply for the exception?
It doesn't say that in the ordinance.
Pardon me?
Pocket permit.
Pocket permit. You want to explain it? This is Will. He's our
Rich.
No, I'm sorry, Rich. He's our building inspector, and he can explain that to you. Go ahead.
If you were going to be tied into the other septic system, you would need a pocket permit, which is just an approved permit from DES. But
okay.
You said you're going to do a separate septic, so that's... If you were to get the approval, then you would just get the approvals.
And then that would all be predicated on whether we can meet all the requirements. We don't have to necessarily meet the septic approval and all that here.
That, no.
That would come after.
No. You just have to meet the requirements of 1504.
Okay.
Right. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Who actually is living in this house now?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Okay. And you're the owner?
Yes.
Okay. I'm confused with the Peterborough address. And
yeah, that's me. I'm
that's
his dad.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking to...
to come and live with... my son
okay,
and my grandson.
So that solves the question of the
yeah.
homeowner.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So technically, he's the applicant. I'm the homeowner.
So who lives in the current ADU?
My mother-in-law. lives in the current ADU above the garage, and that one is attached.
Yes. Oh. That's what we want. God.
We have three very young children, so many hands make light work.
Kind of they won't have far to go to Thanksgiving dinner. No.
So this is actually proposing a new garage with an ADU in it.
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so it's an oversized. It's a one-car garage.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to have the proportions be off.
Yeah,
but it doesn't say anything in the ordinance that we can't.
Yeah,
and this is more or less a markup, just sort of showing the delineation from the properties and the wetlands. This isn't demonstrative of the actual property that would be going in, if that makes any sense.
But the setbacks and all the requirements will be met.
Correct.
I mean, the building inspector will see to that, right?
Okay.
So detached ADU will have two bedrooms?
No, just one.
Just the one.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the original ADU has one bedroom as well?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay. And the house design is three bedroom for a septic?
It is a five bedroom septic.
Size of that septic.
Yes. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Yes.
Big one.
But there's already four bedrooms in the house. So there's already five bedrooms.
Yeah. Correct, including the ADU. And that's, again, where this plan comes from, is that we had to prove out the existing septic system would be able to handle the original attached ADU.
Okay. Section 502E, 505, I think is E, on accessory dwelling units states that any single family dwelling unit in a residential or mixed use may be converted, modified, or constructed to provide for a maximum of two accessory dwelling units. The initial accessory dwelling unit is permitted as per section 502. A second accessory dwelling unit shall be permitted as a special exception as per section 1504E. And then it says all accessory dwelling units are subject to the following restrictions. Accessory dwelling units may be within, attached, or detached. So this one is detached.
Yes.
There should be no more than two, with a maximum of one detached accessory dwelling unit for any single family dwelling. And this is one. Here they have one attached and one detached. There should be no more than two bedrooms in the accessory dwelling unit. There's one.
One, correct.
Mm-hmm. Adequate water supply. Now, are you connecting to your well, or are you?
So we actually haven't determined that quite yet. It's possible that we would connect to the existing well, or it's possible that we would drill a new one for this property.
Okay. So, and that's something that Rich will.
Yes, and it would be part of that survey.
Look at.
Yep.
Okay, adequate, sewage disposal service shall be provided in accordance with the State of New Hampshire Environmental Services, and we've already discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
There shall be a maximum of 850 square feet for the accessory dwelling unit, nor shall exceed 75% of the square footage of the primary dwelling unit. And you said
we are within that. It'll be 775 square feet of living space.
Yeah, and your house is more than 1,100 square feet, 1,150 square feet, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But the four bedrooms, so that meets, so it's more than the 75 percent.
That's why I did it.
And then on-site parking shall be provided, and you have the garage.
Mm-hmm.
All existing setbacks and... we've checked the plans. You haven't found anything, have you?
No, I'm Rich, looking at them right now. They look
setbacks. Architectural enhancements will be employed for the purpose of maintaining aesthetic continuity with the principal dwelling, resulting in attached units appearing as a single family, and detached may appear to be similar.
Yes.
So,
And we would have drawings to show you. I guess that's kind of a discretionary.
Okay. Do you want to see the drawings that he has?
Yes, I think we would have sent them over previously. But
I know I have this.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, we've got these.
We're trying to keep the windows, the siding, the roof, everything the same as close to the main building as
this
possible.
This is a single-story building?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All existing setbacks shall be met.
Yeah.
Architectural enhancements will be employed for the purpose of maintaining aesthetic continuity with the principal dwelling unit resulting in attached units appearing as a single-family unit and detached may appear to be similar. Either the primary or the accessory dwelling shall be occupied by the owner, and you said that you were living in the main house.
That's correct.
Your mother-in-law lives, your father's going to be living in the other one.
Yes.
The current state fire and building codes for two-family dwellings shall apply to attached. This is not attached. Detached shall be within 100 feet of the property of the primary dwelling, which it is. And accessory dwelling units must use the existing entrance to the street, share the same, and share the primary dwelling. So your driveway continues on and goes back.
That is there. Correct. Yeah. We'll end up adding some, added gravel and driveway to get into the garage. Okay.
All right. So those are the conditions of the special exception that, he has to meet in order to be granted a special exception. And anybody have any questions or anything? I mean, from what I can see,
pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I've looked at this several times, and it seems that he meets all the requirements for a special exception.
Yeah, I thought this would be the tough one. This is the easy one.
I know.
I hope so. So explaining to your mother-in-law why your father gets a nicer place.
I know. That was a little trickier. Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions? If not, we can take a vote on whether or not to grant him his special exception. He meets all the criteria for the special exception. So I'd entertain a motion to grant his variance. I'm sorry?
We need to close.
Wait a minute. We need to. Is there anybody here who has any questions or wants to make any comments? Yes, sir. You have to state your name, please.
Richard Cox, 452 Brown Road, Butter.
Okay.
Just a vote in the favor. The Durans have been near idyllic neighbors to date.
Thanks, Rich.
Kind of pleased that they're taking advantage of the fact that this new zoning regulation is available to them, and I wish them luck.
Thank you very much.
We refuse to be influenced, right?
Anybody else have any other questions, or is anybody on Zoom that wants to have any comments or questions? No? Okay, so then we can close the hearing, and then we can vote on the request for a special exception. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the request for a special exception.
I'll second the motion.
No, you have to make the motion.
I'll make the motion that we approve the request for the special exception.
Okay. Any comments?
All right.
Ron?
Aye.
I vote aye.
Gail, aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
Okay.
Thank you
all very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was easy. Yeah.
May I ask if we're the first ones to come forward with this?
You are the first ones with the detached.
All right. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to see.
Thank you for having everything in order.
I know when I got married, I moved in with my mother-in-law and my grandmother. It's good to see families taking care of their, and they have so much to give.
Oh, without question,
especially with the little kids and that they have so much to give to them too.
Yeah, we want to make sure that multi-generational living is no longer a thing of the past.
Yes.
You have free babysitters. Who are you kidding?
There you go. More practical, yes.
Sorry you had to wait.
Oh, no, you're fine.
But we appreciate your coming.
Quite educational.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay. So.
Gee. Did you lose the screw?
Okay, so this goes with this.
You did get little replacement kits.
Okay, this is Bodhi. All right, so our next case is Andrew Munn. And would you read the case for us, please?
Case number 25-008. Applicant/owner Andrew Munn, 80 Old Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, 80 Old Deerfield Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034, map 406, lot 115. Intent, seeking a variance to waive terms as stated in Article 6, Section 6.02, to build a two-car garage with a second floor in front setbacks.
Okay. Mr. Munn, would you like to push a chair up and come and sit with us?
We generally don't like.
I do. Well, thanks for letting me go last. Get all my nerves away. So I got some handouts for you guys.
Okay.
Sorry, we only have three.
That's okay. They can share. Okay. And I spent some time looking at this. So.
Okay.
Quite a bit of time, actually, looking at someone. So, sir, would you identify yourself?
I'm Andrew Munn of 80 Old Deerfield Road in Candia.
And
this is my father.
Alvin Munn of 109 Healy Road, Candia.
Okay. All right. Andrew, do you want to tell us what happened?
So,
I know, but... We need to tell people what happened.
Yeah, so from that first picture there, so the goal is to put a two-car garage with a room on top of it that goes into the living, into the kitchen, actually. So that deck was falling apart, and that's also where I used to park my car underneath it. And then the retaining wall holding up that the side of the slope there started to bow out. So essentially what we started to do was to tear down the deck, replaced the retaining wall, and it turns out we're within about 45 feet of the road. So that's why I'm here.
The original garage, how far was it from the road?
There was
43
feet. It's in...
No, it was
30-something,
I thought.
Yeah, it's on the... Okay, so the current house is 33 feet, I'm sorry. But where the deck came out was 45.
Okay. And was that where the old, did they pour that in the same place as the old?
Where the deck was.
Where the deck was.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is that existing foundation piece to
yes.
the left of the.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically it's in the same place.
Yes.
As it was. So it was a pre-existing non-conforming use and it's still in the same place.
Correct.
Okay. So my understanding of what happened was that... that the Munns contacted someone. They had a plan done. The plan showed the new building 52 feet back.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired a concrete contractor. And the concrete contractor came in. And Megan, if I make a mistake, stop me. But the concrete contractor came in. He applied for a building permit. And he didn't pay for it. But he went out and he poured the footings, and this was when we had between Will and
mm-hmm.
Rich, and so we had someone who went out and checked the footings, poured the foundation, came in for a final inspection, and now we have Rich
mm-hmm.
and Megan. We came in for an inspection. Megan said, "You don't have a building permit." He said, "Yes, I do have a building permit." They're going back and forth, and she said, "Tell me the number." He said, "You never paid for it." So he pays for the building permit. They go out and check it, and they found the foundation was not where the plan that they submitted. They intended to move it back. The foundation wasn't where that plan was, and now they have a significant amount of money in the concrete work, and they can't put their building on because it's within the setbacks. But it was a pre-existing non-conforming use.
So it's in the same spot as the
other
one.
So it's the same
mm-hmm.
spot as the other place. And
so
their intention was to do it, to make it better. But when I looked at their plans and things, and I was looking at that room that goes over the house, we were measuring it and thinking that there's a door there already. If they moved it back, they'd have to move that door because the door wouldn't be coming
mm-hmm.
out into that new room that they had. And the way it is now, they can use that door to get into this other room that they want to put above their garage that they would like to build. So they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place because they need a variance, but they're basically where they were before. So they haven't increased. They haven't increased their.
Technically, they're like a foot to maybe 2 feet further away from the road than they were.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually more conforming than what they were, yeah. But they're still non-conforming.
Okay, so they've made enough. So at least there's some effort to be more in conformance with the ordinance, and so they need a variance to continue what they're doing because they're not. It was a pre-existing non-conforming use. It is now more conforming.
So they have a pre-existing non-conforming use for this?
I'm sorry.
You said they have a pre-existing non-conforming use.
The original building that the structure that they built that they tore down was non-conforming,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they had intended to push it back so that it was 52 feet from the road, and the concrete contractor puts the foundation in a different place than what they submitted to us, because when they submitted it to us, they got, when he came in, the plan he had showed that it was conforming. Now it's not, so.
Did you actually find it?
This is the original structure we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
This was built in 1958.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That's when we started doing the ordinance, I mean.
I'm not sure that is probably, well, so it's a pre-existing non-conforming use. So pre-existed zoning. So it's allowed.
I have no idea what the ordinance was back in 58.
I don't think we had an ordinance till the 60s.
Well, I think I read it someplace.
Well, but the point is that it was pre-existing non-conforming. It's a pre-existing non-conforming use. For today's ordinance.
Yeah. Okay.
And so he tried to be conforming.
Right.
He presented a plan that showed that they were going to be back 52 feet from the road.
Yep.
They're not 52 feet back. They're about 48 feet, right?
45.12.
45.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So.
Close enough.
That's what the concrete guy said.
The concrete man should not say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, if you're thinking of a hardship to have to rip out that concrete, and I mean, I know concrete has skyrocketed in cost.
It's not that, it's just that it wouldn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And,
no.
And it's actually, when I looked at these plans
is it basically a grandfathered footprint?
Supposedly you're supposed to, it down, you're supposed to make it conforming, and
it exactly where it was, it would have been grandfathered because he would have been using the same wall.
Mm-hmm.
But he moved it back, so it's actually
better.
A different
better.
Wall now.
But
even though it doesn't really grandfather in with it being a separate wall. But he is more conformed.
Right, but if it was further out, that would be more of an issue, I would think, where it's
right.
set back
yeah,
more.
Yeah. It's set back more. And his intention... And his intention was to be conforming.
I think I'd look for a new concrete person
well, it's already
the next
late.
Time around, but
as long as it doesn't start to bow out.
Yeah.
I think we can vote on this for
okay.
my opinion.
So,
yeah.
So do we... I mean, is there anything, did I leave anything out?
No, you explained that better than I ever could.
Well, I worked on this a lot. I read it carefully and talked about it. And it's difficult to see what happened. So let me just find your paperwork here, and then we can continue on. Is there anything else that you want to say to us?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So the first criteria is that it will not be contrary to the public interest. So anybody have any comments about?
No, it won't be.
So it's more in compliance.
Right. And unfortunately, part of the whole issue here is the town's fault, not your fault, but three building inspectors in 3 months was a little much.
Yeah.
It was confusing for everybody.
Yeah, and the thing is, the bottom line is it's not the town's responsibility to go out and measure, even though it was inspected. If there's a problem, it's not the town's legally it's not the town's responsibility. It's the owner's responsibility, and he tried.
Yeah,
he tried. He had a plan, and he tried.
Yeah,
and so it is. It's not. Is it contrary to the public interest? It is more in compliance. Anybody else have any other comments?
No, it's not contrary to the public interest.
Okay. So, Ron? I'm sorry. We need a... the variance is not contrary to the public... It would not be contrary to the public interest. So, Ron?
Yes.
Yes, it's not contrary to the public interest.
Right.
Tony?
Yes.
Yes.
Gail's yes, I'm yes. Boyd's absent. Okay, the next one is the spirit of the ordinance is observed.
Yes, they actually went less on the...
Okay. So they tried to make it compliant.
Yes.
So,
my vote is yes.
Gail's yes. Tony?
Yes.
Ron?
Ron, yes.
And I'm yes. Substantial justice is done. So that's where the harm to the public is outweighed by...
There is no harm.
There is no harm to the public.
No,
there's plenty of room here.
And actually, it looks like they're improving the properties.
Actually, I'm surprised. How much land is in this lot?
It's only 1.7 acres.
Is it that much?
Yeah.
It doesn't look it in this plan, but...
It's a little weird shape, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, all those lots up there are real small.
Yeah.
I'm going to guarantee your comments so I can go through so we can say this the right way. Sorry. I knew there was a sticky here someplace. Here it is. So that the second one is that the spirit of the ordinance...
No, we already did that one.
Oh, we did the spirit of the ordinance. Okay. Three is... substantial justice is done. A loss of the individual that is not outweighed by a gain to the general public. There is absolutely no gain to the public.
There's no loss to the public.
There's no loss to the public, but there would be a huge loss to this family if they had to rip out that foundation.
That's right.
Correct.
I vote yes.
Okay, wait a minute. Got to have reasons, guys.
So I thought that was the reason.
No, yeah, we have, yeah, but I'm...
Yeah, no. Okay. So we have a reason.
Okay.
So
yeah, we have a reason.
Well, the reason is it's more compliant than it was before.
Okay. Okay, Gail?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
I'm yes. The values of surrounding properties are not diminished.
They're actually improving the look of the property, so it increased property values.
It's a lot more fun than the first one.
Yeah, we could have started with this one. My puppy would be much happier.
My wife would.
Okay. So the values of surrounding properties not diminished. It improves the look of the property and it's increasing property values. Gail?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. What?
This one, four. Come on, yeah. Tony.
Ron, yes.
Yes.
And I'm yes.
My new wife, she's...
Literal enforcement of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. So if we literally said he had to meet the 50 feet because he can, it would be a huge financial burden.
Yeah. Yes. And gaining of, 5 feet or 8 feet,
yeah,
just doesn't seem... Where the other one was already... He reduced the non-conforming, so it's actually no reason to spend that amount of money to take down a wall that's already existing. My vote is yes.
Okay, what I wrote was it's a huge financial burden. If the applicant is made to move it back, it's actually more compliant.
Correct.
Okay, so Gail is yes, Tony?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
And I'm yes. Okay, so I will entertain a motion.
A motion to approve this variance as written.
I'll second that.
Okay. Ron, we'll vote.
What? Oh, we had the motion.
The motion is to.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I'm
yes.
Gail, yes.
Yes.
So the motion was to grant his variance to allow him to continue. Now you can continue building. And I guess you've had to stop, haven't you? And
yeah.
You haven't been able. So now you can, while we still have some good weather, you can continue and
accept
and,
well, good luck.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sorry that you got held up as long as you did. But thank you for all
the
stuff that you provided for us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Never entertain that.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
So
thank
we
you.
Have the next order of business is to do our
did
minutes.
Did we close that one?
I'm sorry?
Did we close that one?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you.
So
we'll close the...
Me?
Pardon me?
I'll show me.
Yeah, you can go.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get out of here.
Yeah, you
home.
Can go. We're
almost
done. I'm going
to go fix my glasses.
got a little thing to put it in with?
I found the screw.
Oh, lucky you.
Have you seen where they have those little cases?
But I don't have one yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it has a little, and you can buy a little
you
thing
found
with the screws in it.
Screw? Yeah.
Why
do
you wear
this? Because I had to get the glasses working so I could find this girl.
Okay. So we need
careful out there.
So we need to go over the minutes of the previous meeting. Is anybody...
I didn't have a chance to read them, unfortunately. I don't know if anybody else...
Anybody have any... Do you want to put them off for another month?
If other people read them, then I'm fine with that.
Okay, any questions? Thank you, Megan. I know this was a job.
All good. Happy to help.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Or do you want to...
The motion, we approve them.
Okay, do we have a second?
Well, I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, so I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting. I think, is there any other business? No other business? I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We're done.
Good job.